Vayikra, Sefer Vayikra, the third of the fifth of the five, is a very daunting challenge, especially we call it Toras Kohanim, so much about Karbonos and Kodshim. My father, Zichrono Livracha, as a Chumash teacher in the shul, used to always find this very challenging, you know, to get people interested and excited about Sefer Vayikra. It's so technical, so many complex halachas. A little bit of a letdown, so to speak, after the beautiful parshiyos in Bereishis, and then the Yetzias Mitzrayim, Geula Mitzrayim at the beginning of Shmos, and culminating in the Mishkan. And now to get into the technical halachas of Kodshim, you know, Toras Kohanim, we're not Kohanim, and we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, and it's too complicated for us. It's too daunting of a challenge. If Yirtzeh Hashem, if we get a chance, we would love to look at the Mor Nevuchim of the Rambam, and how he understands Kodshim, and what the meaning of Kodshim is all about. We also might be able to study a sefer called Shari Ora. And he's going to try to analyze that we're all Kohanim in some sense. But today what I want to do is to study a little bit of Hasidic insight as we start Sefer Vayikra. And this is the Shvilei Pinchas. And he begins with a Zohar. The Zohar points out that if you study the creation, the story of creation, what you'll find is that the Torah describes not once, not twice, but three times the creation of light. And it starts with Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or, may there be light. Then it goes on and says Vayar Elokim Es Ha'or Ki Tov, God sees the light and it's good. And then it says Vayavdel Elokim Bein Ha'or Ubein HaChoshech. And it seems that the mention of Or at the beginning of creation goes on and on and on. And again, you can divide it up into different ways, but if you actually count the word Or as it appears on the first day of creation, how many times does the word Or appear? You'll end up with the number 5. So let's go through it. Number 1, Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or. Number 2, Vayehi Or. Number 3, Vayara Elokim Es Ha'or Ki Tov. Number 4, Vayavdel Elokim Bein Ha'or Ubein HaChoshech, God separated between the light and the darkness. And then finally, the fifth time, Vayikra Elokim La'or Yom V'LaChoshech Kara Laila. 5 times the Torah describes Or on the first day of creation. And the Zohar says that the number 5 here corresponds to the 5 books of Moshe. And basically every one of these 5 mentions of Or corresponds to another, in sequence, another of the 5 books of Moshe. And if that be the case, there's one pasuk out of the 5 that adds the word Tov, good. And that's the third pasuk. So we have Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or is the first. The second is Vayehi Or is number 2. And then finally, number 3 is Vayara Elokim Es Ha'or Ki Tov. Now, if each one of the Or is respectively corresponds to each of the books of Moshe Rabbeinu, then the third one corresponds to which book?
Vayikra.
So it seems that the Ki Tov is a reference to Vayikra. So it means that there's something very special about Sefer Vayikra. And that's exciting. Now this coming Shabbos, Amir Tzachem, we're going to begin the third book of the 5 books, and that's Vayikra. And according to the Zohar, the pasuk that begins Eli told us Hashemayim v'aretz bihi bara'am behei bara'am, which means that this world was created with the letter hey, and that means it was created with the 5 books of Moshe Rabbeinu. And Rashi already at the beginning of Chumash points out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in order that we accept the Torah. And Rashi goes out of his way to point out that we should accept the five chumashim of the Torah. And maybe there's a special place or a special unique role in the third of the five books, namely the book of Vayikra, which corresponds to the pasuk Ki Tov. Now, it's very interesting that if you look in a pasuk at the end of Sefer Vayikra, which opens up the parasha of Bichukosai, it says, Im Bichukosai Telechu. And the pasuk says, Ashrei Tmimim Tmimei Derech HaHolchim B'Torah Hashem. In other words, whenever we talk about Torah, we're talking about Telechu, that you need a light when you're on the road, when you're on a way, and you have a destiny. And the light for us in guiding our life is the Torah. The Torah itself is called Ar, because it lights up the way and allows us to get to our destination. So Ashrei, how lucky, how fortunate are the Tmimei Derech, HaHolchim, those who go, B'Torah Hashem, because they have that R of Torah. Otherwise, they're going in the darkness. And so many people, unfortunately, on the face of the earth are walking in the darkness. They don't know where they're going. And now, if you take a look at the language of the Medrash, which you'll see in the middle column here, Omer Rav Simon, Hey Piyomim Ksiv Kan Ora, five times the Torah mentions light, Keneged Chamisha Chumshei Torah, and Vayomer Lekim Yehi Or is Keneged Breishis, Vayhi Or is Keneged Shmos, Vayar Lekim Esa Or Ki Tov is Keneged Sefer Vayikra, and the Medrash adds to Mole Halachos Rabos. In other words, of all the books of the five, the one that's singled out because of its many complex halachos, a multitude of halachos, is Vayikra, the third one, and that's called Ki Tov. Then you have Vayevdel Lekim Ben Or Ben Achoshech, that's Midbar, Shumavdil Ben Yotzim Mitzrayim Leboya Oretz. In other words, during this, you know, the episodes that are recorded in the fourth book, we're gonna drop those who left Mitzrayim in order to shift our emphasis on those who will enter into the Eretz Yisrael. That's called Vayavdil. And then finally, Vayikra Lekim La'ar Yom, that's already the Mishneh Torah, that also has many, many halachas, especially in Parashas Ki Tetzeh. But now let's focus on the Ki Tov of the third book. What is Tov, what is exceptionally good about the third book, about Sefer Vayikra, in contrast to all the other Sfarim? And the Medrash says, because it's Mole Halachas Rabos, it's full of so many different halachas. Right? That's what we call this book, the book of Karbanos, of Torah's Kohanim, the laws of the Kohanim. And perhaps it's possible to suggest that what the Medrash means is that if you open up to Parshas Kedoshim, in Sefer Vayikra, you'll see that there are so many, so many halachos, basic halachos, and mitzvos that are codified in the Parsha of Kedoshim, which opens with the words in Perek Yutes of Vayikra, Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe Leimor, Daber el kol adas b'nei Yisrael, Ve'amarta aleihem, Kedoshim tiyu, Ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. And Rashi says, Daber el kol adas b'nei Yisrael, why does the Parsha of Kedoshim get this very unique introduction that you should speak Moshe Rabbeinu to the entire assembly of Israel, Melami, to teach you Shenemer Parsha Zuba Hakel, that this Parsha of Kedoshim was transmitted to Klal Yisrael as an assembly. You know, the whole nation was gathered together. And why? Most of the fundamental principles and laws of the Torah depend on Parshas Kedoshim. And one of the commentaries on Chumash quotes the famous story in the Gemara in Shabbos. You remember a non-Jew comes to Shammai and then finally to Hillel to ask him to convert him while he's standing on one foot. You remember that? So Shammai, you know, kicks him out. He says, "What do you mean? You're trying to make fun of Judaism? Are you cynical? How can you learn the entire Torah on one foot?" Hillel, on the other hand, converted him, and he taught him just one principle on while this non-Jew was standing on one foot. The Olecha Sani, that which is hated to you, you know, it's you find it despicable and repulsive. Lechavrecha lo tavid, don't do it for your friend. Zui kol haTorah kula, I can teach you that rule, and you've got now you have the whole Torah on one foot. The Idach Perusha Zil Gemar, and the rest of it is just a commentary and elucidation. Go out and learn it. So Rashi says, what's so significant about the Ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha that becomes the primary mitzvah of the Torah? And the answer is because he koleles rov hamitzvahs, because this mitzvah of love thy neighbor combines within it or includes within it most of the mitzvahs beinon lechavero, like for example Rashi says gzela and gneva and so forth and so on, don't steal and don't cheat. So we see very clearly that when it says rov gufei Torah tluyim ba to describe parshas kedoshim, it means that we have to gather every member of Klal Yisrael together as one unified assembly, and Keish Echad V'Leiv Echad, we all as one commit ourselves to fulfill the mitzvah of Parshas Kedoshim, namely which mitzvah? This is the opening of Parshas Kedoshim, V'Ahavta L'Reich Kamocha, the essence of Parshas Kedoshim, which according to Hillel combines in it Kol HaTorah Kula Rov Gufei HaTorah. And now we go back to the pasuk that we started with, Vayara Lekimis Ha'or Ki Tov, which according to the Medrash is, it corresponds to Sefer Vayikra, which is Mole Alochas Rabos, that Vayikra is full of so many alochas. It means it includes within it not only the laws of Karbanos, but also Parshas Kedoshim is included in Vayikra, and that's Rov Gufei HaTorah Tluyim Ba. So it means that the reason why Ki Tov is attached to the third day and corresponds to the third book of Moses, meaning to the book of Vayikra, is to allude to the fact that there are so many, so many myriads of halachos. That's called Tov. Why? Because Tov is a code word for the Torah itself. Ein Tov, there's a mission at the end of Moses, Ein Tov ela Torah. Shenemar the pasuk in Mishlei ki lekach tov nasati lechem torasi al tazom. So just to summarize what we've seen until now, let's not feel a letdown when we get to Sefer Vayikra. On the contrary, let's feel let up, because now we're getting to ki tov, we're getting to a ein tov el Torah, because the R of Vayikra is a very bright and intense R. It has rov gufei haTorah tluyim ba. Okay, now I want you to turn to the next page, and we're going to take a look at the Yalkut Shimoni on Tehillim. The pasuk in Tehillim is going to describe the greatness of Karbanos. What is so great about the Karban? Now, it says that every part of the universe was addressed the following question: What should we do with a sinner who wants to now, you know, face the future? He unfortunately he was guilty of a criminal act. So the Yalkut says, "Tov v'yosher Hashem al kein yoreh chatoim badorech." That the pasuk in Tehillim says that God is considered tov, and He's straight. And He's going to teach the sinners the right way to go. And that's only because in the sequence, God was the last one to be addressed. So who was the first one to be addressed? It was Chachma, wisdom. Chote, what's going to be with a chote, a sinner? And Chachma responded, a pasuk in Mishlei, Chatoim tirdof ra'a, meaning all they can do is expect evil to befall them. Meaning there's no ray of hope. So Chachma, based on human intellect and rational thinking, is very despairing, very somber, and very pessimistic. But Sholul Nevuah, then they asked the prophets, Chote Ma'on, so what's going to be with the sinner? Amr Lehem, and this is a pasuk in Yechezkel, Anefesh HaChotasi Tomos, that basically the sinner is going to die, and that's going to be his end. Sholu l'Torah chote ma'onsho, but Torah has a more optimistic perspective Amra Yavi Asham V'Yiskaper. Let him bring a karmon and achieve atonement. Sholol HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chotei Mayon Sho. Amra Lehem Yase Tshuva V'Yiskaper. He can do tshuva and achieve atonement. And that's what David HaMelech meant when he said he praised God as Tov V'Yoshal Ken Yorech HaTom V'Derech. God is going to teach the sinners the proper road to go on, and that's the Derech HaTshuva that's going to give them salvation. But we see that as far as Chachma Nevu is concerned, there's really no hope. It's just a bleak despair, because ultimately the Chote is going to die because of his sins. Torah, on the other hand, with its compassion, offered a possibility of kapara through a karmon. Yavi Asham V'Yiskaper Lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu adds that, you know what? Even if he has to bring a karmon, don't think it's enough to bring a karmon, just perfunctorily, you know, bring the animal and you think, I can clean my hands and purify myself. No, that karmon has to be accompanied by tshuva, by a sincere repentance. And that's based on a Gemara in Brachos that says, Hai karov lishma l'divrei chachamim. A person, heavy, should always be karov lishma l'divrei chachamim. Shem chotim mevim karma v'osim tshuva. That when he sins, he should do tshuva and bring a karma. Va'al tehi kisiksilim. Don't be like the fools. And the cynics, shechotim umevim karma v'enos in tshuva. They just go through the, you know, the mechanics, what's the word I'm looking for? They go through the mechanical movements, but they really don't do a sincere tshuva, an internal tshuva.
You mean to do it by rote?
Do it by rote. Excellent. So now what we could say about Sefer Vayikra, where the laws of karbonos are recorded in the Sefer, and all these karbonos are coming to generate kapara for the chote, then we could say Yavi Asham V'Yiskaperlo. If you bring the karbon, and now let's integrate what Torah says with what HaKadosh Baruch Hu adds, that he has to do tshuva when he brings the karbon. Now we could say that why is the third R, as we said before, the Vayara L'Kimis Ar Ki Tov, why does that correspond to the third book, namely Vayikra? And the answer is because the Tov here is the kapara that a person could achieve for his sins. When man sins, his situation is very bleak and despairing, but comes along Sefer Vayikra and says, Tov, I have something good news to tell you. There's a way out. And that's Vayar. Vayar means that there's a way in which something could continue to exist. Ro'ani means that I see that it can continue to exist. How is the world going to continue to exist? And the answer is because of Tov. Tov means the third book, the book of Karbanos, the book that reveals to us how we're going to achieve kapara and atonement for our sins. And that's going to be Vayar. That's going to be the kiyum, the existence that's going to guarantee the maintenance of the world. And as we said many times, Torah could be understood in so many different ways. Shivim panim la Torah, 70 different perspectives. And if Vayar l'kimis ha'or ki tov corresponds to Sefer Vayikra, then take a look at the pasuk at the very beginning of Vayikra. It says, "Vayikra el Moshe vaydaber Hashem elav me'ol moed le'mar daber b'nei Yisrael v'amart aleim Adam ki yakriv michem karmon l'Hashem." Min habeima, min habakar, min atzon, takrivu es karbanchem. And the Zohar has a fascinating insight into the meaning of this pasuk, because we know that the karbanos are active and are real, so to speak, when the Mishkan is built, and when we have a Beis HaMikdash in Yirtzeh Hashem. So the Zohar makes a comment, Bo re'e v'yoso yom shenishtachlel v'nigmar Mishkan, on the very day that Moshe Rabbeinu completed the Mishkan, the building of the Mishkan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hiktim v'shara bo, God and his Shechina come down to reside in the Mishkan, miyad v'yikrel Moshe, God calls out to Moshe from the old Moed, and he says to him, what does he say to him? Actually, the pasuk doesn't reveal what God said to him. It's one of those strange psukim, v'yom v'ydabra Hashem elav v'ol Moed. And then it goes on to say that he should tell the people about karbonos. But what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveal to Moshe? Says the Zohar, Hodielo Sha'asidim Yisrael Lachto Lefanav. God reveals to Moshe the sad news that the Jews will sin. Vishit Mashkein Hol Moed Be'avanoseihem. You know, when you can't pay up a debt, so you give a collateral and that's taken away in lieu of the debt. What's our collateral that Hashem takes away from us? That's the Beis HaMikdash, that's the Mishkan. V'lo yiskayem b'yadayim, as a result of our sins, which are too heavy to burden, therefore we're going to lose the Mishkan. And that's what it means, v'yidaber Hashem elov me'ol moed le'mar, ma omer lo me'ol moed me'iskei o'i moed shasidim l'smashkein b'avanoseh. Now imagine, if you were receiving the whole parasha of the Mishkan, as Moshe Rabbeinu was, and the first thing that God tells you as an introduction is that the Mishkan and ultimately the Mikdash is going to be destroyed. That's not good news. That seems to be anything but encouraging. It's depressing. Why would Hashem, at the very moment that He's giving the parasha of the Korbanos, tell Moshe Rabbeinu that the Mikdash is going to be destroyed? And he writes that the answer lies in the last few words in the Zohar. The Zohar says that lo yiskayim b'kiyumo, that although the Mikdash won't remain standing, aval harafuol azeh, but there is a healing process, so to speak. There's a salvation here. Adam ki yakri meken karbon l'Hashem. And what does that mean? Adam ki yakriv michem karbon Hashem. Where's the refuah? You're telling me that man could bring a karbon, but the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. The answer is that the Gemara tells us in Menachos, kala osek v'toras chatos kilu hikriv katos, otos osham kilu, that if a person learns the law of a karbon, God considers if he brought that karbon. And why is this so? Because the Ramban says in his introduction to Sefer Vayikra that when a person brings an animal on the Mizbeach, where's the kapara? Why does that bring atonement for him? Because he should concentrate and think that he's a sinner, he really deserves to be brought on the Mizbeach, and instead of giving up his guf and nefesh, the guf and the nefesh of the animal is taken away. Really, his blood should be spilled. His body should be burnt on the Mizbeach. But there's a special chesed, a divine compassion, that God accepts a replacement for his guf, for the human guf. And God says, I'm going to accept the karbon and the dam of the karbon as a replacement for your human blood, and that's going to achieve the kapara. And the Gemara tells us, Minayin shein divrei HaTorah miskaymel b'mi shememis atzmo aleha, that when a person gives up his life for the sake of Torah, he sacrifices. Then shenemar zos haTorah adam ki yomos ba'oel, which means that if a person doesn't have the opportunity to actually bring the karbon, which is a substitute for his death, so to speak, then what he can do is he can be osek b'toras chatos b'toras oshem. He can dedicate himself to the study of karbonos, and at the moment that he's learning the karbonos, if he thinks in his mind, he concentrates that whatever that we have to, you know, whatever laws that we're learning now that apply to how to bring a karbon, it should be considered as if, or he wants to consider as if he himself brought the karbon, is then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to be makshiv, and I'm considered as if you actually brought the karbon, even though it's all in your mind. But if you have the mental dedication when you're learning the laws of Kodshim, that if you could only possibly bring the Kodshim, you would do so, and you could imagine yourself actually following through, that is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers so great, your machshava, that he considers if you brought the karbon. So we have now two psukim. We have Adam ki yakriv michem, when a man comes literally and actually to bring a karbon, michem means to replace him, he should be on the Mizbeach. And then we have another pasuk that says, Adam ki yomis ba'oel. And the Adam ki yomis ba'oel, say Chazal, is a reference to the study of Torah. So when a person dedicates himself to the Torah, to the study of Torah, it's as if so to speak, again, don't take me, but I mean figuratively, he killed himself for the sake of Torah. He gave up his life for the sake of Torah. And that's exactly what a korban is all about, right? Adam ki yakrev mikem. The word mikem means that he himself is, so to speak, being put on the mizbeach. Not literally, but symbolically or figuratively. And now that we live in the period of time after the Churban Habayis, and we no longer could fulfill the Adam ki yakrev mikem karban, so he's not going to be giving up his life, so to speak, on the Mizbeach, because there is no Mizbeach. So what he has is another way of giving up his life, so to speak, and all this is to be taken figuratively, Adam ki yomus ba'oel. A man dedicates himself to the study of Torah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, well, if you learn the Torah properly and you imagine in your mind that you would be fulfilling every single detail and bringing the chatos of the Asham, I will consider as if you brought the karban. Now it's interesting that the emphasis here in the pasuk is on Adam. Adam ki yakrev mikhem karban. What does it mean, Adam? The word Adam is chosen deliberately in the parasha of Karbanos to trigger off in our mind a connection to the word Adam ki yomus ba'oel. Again, the word Adam, which is reference to someone who kills himself, so to speak, for the sake of Torah study. You know, he gives up nights and days, and he dedicates his heart and soul and body, all his time, to the study of Torah. That's the same Adam of the Kiyakriv, Adam Kiyakriv Michem Karban Lashem, because he's a mamis atzmo bi'ohola shel Torah. And that's the greatness and the unique role of Sefer Vayikra as Vayara Lekimis Ha'ar Ki Tov. It means that even though, and this is what Hashem is conveying to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed, nevertheless, don't throw in the towel, so to speak, in despair because you don't have a possibility of bringing the karbanos. There's a substitute for karbanos. And what's a substitute for karbanos? Learning Sefer Vayikra, meaning learning the laws of the karbanos. And Al Yidei said that through learning the study and studying the laws of Chatos and Asham, of karbanos, Hashem says, it's as if you were Mamis Atzmo, it's as if you yourself were the karban, and Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to accept that as a substitute for the karban. So it's not, you know, the ball game is not over. We don't have to despair over the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. We still have, so to speak, at least figuratively, symbolically, Havas HaKarban, and that's going to be by learning the laws that are incorporated here in Sefer Vayikra. And that, it's very interesting, the Baal HaTurim, you know, he's into symbolic meanings in words. So he says that if you take the words Es Ha'or, right, in the pasuk that we're dealing with, Vayar Elokim Es Ha'or Ki Tov, so Es Ha'or has the same numerical value as Batorah. So this is the R, this is the Karbanos, this is the studying of the Karbanos, and this is the R of Torah. This is going to give us the ability that HaKadosh Baruch Hu consider it as if we brought the Karban, even though the Mikdash is destroyed. Okay, now the Torah is divided up into many different levels. One is called Remez. Remez means to see allusions in the Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to organize the Avodas HaKarbanos in the third book, which is called Vayikra, and the Arizal, who lived 5 centuries ago in the city of Tzfat, he writes that there's a mitzvah called Ksiva Sefer Torah, to write a Sefer Torah. And he says that when you write the Sefer Torah, you should have a kavana in mind that these 5 books that you're writing are correspond to the holiest name of God, which is Yud Kei Vav Kei. Now, Yud Kei Vav Kei has only 4 letters to it, but the Yud itself has something called Kotso Shel Yud. And that's the tippy end of the Yud on top.
Yeah.
That has deep, deep Kabbalistic, mystical meanings. But it's considered almost like a letter unto itself that represents infinity, but we're not going to get into that. So after the Kotzel Shel Yud, which is representative and corresponds to Sefer Breishis, we get to the Yud itself. The Yud itself corresponds to Shmos. And then we get to the Hey. That's the first hey, because there's Yud Hey, and then there's another Vav Hey at the end. The first Hey corresponds to Sefer Vayikra, and then there's a Vav which corresponds to Bamidbar, and then the final Hey which corresponds to Dvarim. Now, if you take the Yud, which now represents both Bracious and Shmos, right, because the Kotzel Shel Yud and the Yud itself, then you add to the Yud a Hey, which represents Vayikra, so by the time you get to Vayikra, you have a Yud and a Hey. And that combination of a Yud and a Hey already represents the name of God. And we're going to soon see that there's a relationship between the shorter, abbreviated name of God, which is Yud-Heh, and the full name of God, which is Yud-Heh, and then another Vav-Heh. But that, we're not up to that yet. But in any event, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides that the book of Vayikra, according to the Arizal, completes this name of God, which is a Yud and a Heh. And that's based on what the Gemara establishes in Erev in Miyom Shecharev Beis Hamikdash Dayo Li'olam Sheyishtamish B'Shtei Osios. In other words, originally God's name in the universe was four letters, right? And with the Kotzel Shel Yud, the five letters. But after the Mikdash was destroyed, the entire universe changed. Metaphysically, there was a change in the universe. And the name of God that now reigns supreme and dominates and generates existence is Yud Keh. Shenemar, the Pasuk in Tehillim, call on the Shoma to Hallel Yud Keh. Now, what does this mean when it says that after the day of the Churban HaMishkan is Yishtamesh B'Shtei Osios? What does that mean, Yishtamesh B'Shtei Osios? When the Jews go into exile after the destruction of the Migdash, God uses, so to speak, two letters, Yud Keh. So the Shvilei Pinchas wants to suggest, based on the Gemara in Brachos, the Gemara darshins the last pasuk in Tanakh. It says there, "Oz nidbru yirei Hashem yishoreyehu vayakshev Hashem v'yishma vayichtov sefer zikaron lefanov liyirei Hashem lechosh v'yishma." So if you take a look at the last two words in this pasuk, lechosh v'yishma, these are people who, so to speak, think or contemplate about the name of God. Omar Rav, the Gemara in Brachos Daf Vav quotes Rav. I'm sorry, Omar Ravashi, that Chashav Adam Lasos Mitzvah. For man thought and prepared to do a mitzvah, but he got so involved in his work that he forgot to daven Mincha. Is Venenas Velo Asa? Is Malol of Hakosav Kilo Asa? If there was circumstances that mitigate that prevented him beyond his control, if God will consider it as if he did the mitzvah. This is all called Choshvei Shmo. And the Bnei Yisachar embellishes this, who's on the top left column, you'll see, he says that in a case of an ones beyond his control, that he didn't do the actual Maisa Mitzvah, Eimagilos Char Pu'ula B'Shlemus, you would think that, okay, he had the right intentions, but he's not going to get blessed with the rewards that he would have gotten had he actualized and realized this mitzvah. Afal Picha, nevertheless, there's a great Midah Tova, there's a great compassion of God, and this compassion God showers on Israel in Yirei Shmo V'Chosh V'Shmo, that even though he never got a chance to do the mitzvah, God considers as if he did the mitzvah. Why? And it's all because Klal Yisrael have a dveikus in the shame of Hashem, which is shame Yud Kei Vav Kei, because the pasuk says at the beginning of Dvarim Vaschan, it says Vatem Advekim Hashem Elokeichem, and here it says Yud Kei Vav Kei. Now, man, or the Jew, I should say, is really dovek. He's dedicated totally to the Yud Kei Vav Kei. And the Bnei Yisachar says the following: the Yud Kei, the first half, is Machshava, is the man planning. And the Vav Kei at the end of God's name is the Maisa, is the action. So it means the first two letters, which is Yud Kei, correspond to the Avoda of Hashem v'Machshava, when I plan and I hope to fulfill God's will. The Vav Kei corresponds to the Avoda b'Maisa before, when if I actually implement it. And v'shamartem v'asisem ki hi chachmaschem u'binaschem u'shamartem v'asisem da vavke. So the asisem is identified with the last two letters of God's name, but ki hi chachmaschem u'binaschem, but the understanding, the wisdom, and the intellect, that's yudke, the first two letters. So when you talk about the body, the physical body implementing the mitzvah, you're talking about vavke. If you're talking about the machshava and the intellect and the planning and the scheming, that's yudke. Yudke belongs to the olam machshava, the divine realm of thought. And there are chassidim who, before they do a mitzvah, they recite what's called a l'shem yichud. You'll see it published in Sidurim, and there it says liyached shem yudke. Meaning the ultimate goal or the lofty ideal is to integrate both Yud-Ke with Vav-Ke, the Machshava with the Maisa. But we start with the Yud-Ke because we now today cannot always implement the Maisa, like for example in Karbanos, but what we can implement is the Yud-Ke, the Choshve Shmo, the Machshava. Now, here's the point, and after this, you know, if you have to go, I'll let you go. But this is just, you know, this is the main point for today's discussion. That when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you had the right machshava and you had the right to plan, and therefore you're dovek, and you really want to be dovek in the yudke vavke, but all you end up with, because that's all you're capable of doing, is the yudke, the machshava. Somehow, magically, in the yudke of two letters, it hears the Vavke as well. In other words, the Yud-Ke, even though, again, the Befal, the Maisa, you didn't do, but Hashem considers it as if you had the Vavke, the whole name of God, even the Maisa. And why is that so? So, if you take a look here on page 4, you'll see that there's something called the Shem Mole. The Shem Mole means that when I calculate a word in Lashon Kodesh, I can do it in one of two ways. Either the letters from 1 to 22, each one represents that number. So Aleph represents 1 and Beis represents 2. And therefore Yud would be 10 and He would be 5. But there's another way of calculating it, and that's if you write out the letter. So for example, Yud is written Yud Vav Dalet. And that gives you a different number. That gives you the number 20. And then He is written He Vav, which gives you the number 6. And if you add the 20 to the 6, you get the exact gematria of Yud Ke Vav Ke. So really all you have is the Yud and the He. But the Yud and the He together have, so to speak, in inherent or in potential, the Yud Ke Vav Ke. And that's the connection here between Machshava, which is Yud-Ke, and the Maisa, which is adds the Vav-Ke at the end, and you have the whole gamut of God's name, the Yud-Ke, Vav-Ke. But since the Yud-Ke is 26, if you write it in Miluo, if you write out the letters, then the Yud-Ke itself has in the potential the entire Yud-Ke, Vav-Ke. So that's where we get to this concept that Hashem is Machshiv, the Machshava, as if you did the Maisa. That's where Sefer Vayikra becomes the book of Yud-Ke. Okay, so we'll take a break for a minute. This idea perhaps is inherent also in the Paiton, in the liturgy of Rabbi Elazar HaKalir for the last day of Pesach, for Shachris, on Vahaya Shem LeMelech, he says, Shem Yikra Kiksi Vaso, Mechetziov Tismale Tevaso, which means Alosid Lavo will be able to read the name of God as it is, Yudke Vavke, as it's written, but not as it's expressed or enunciated today, because today we read it as Adnus. And yet he completes this presentation, Rabbi Elazar HaKalir, by saying, Mechetziov Titmale Tevaso. What does it mean, Titmale Tevaso? And the answer is, the Milu of the Teva gives you the Gematria of 26. As we said before, now getting back to the Yalkut Shimoni and the Arizal on the pasuk ki be yud ke Hashem tzur olamim, and the Arizal says da ki shem havaya ikro beis osios rishonos, the main section of God's name Yud-Kei Vav-Kei is the Yud-Kei at the beginning of the name, and that's the Ikar. Ki Ashar Heim Toldos Ubanim Shalahem, meaning the Vav-Kei is already considered like a Toldo, like a child. And all this, says the Ari, is based on the fact that the Yud-Kei incorporates the entire Shem Hashem, because the Yud-Kei in the Gematria, if it's written below of Chav-Vav of 26, which is the same minion as Havaya. And he quotes now the Eitz Chaim, who says on a pasuk in Tillim, "Ki zes so," on the pasuk in Tillim that says "Solu l'rochev barovus be yud kei shmo," it should have said "Yud kei shmo." What's be yud kei shmo? My be yud kei shmo. Ha'inyan hu ki chol Hashem kol be yud kei. The entire name yud kei vav kei is inherent in the yud kei. And when it says Vina Meitza Karasi Yud K, Anoni Bemerchav Yud K, the Gemara says in Erev Miyom Shechar Beis Hamikdash Dayoli Olam Shishtamesh Bishtei Osios. It's enough for the world to use these two letters of the name of God, the Yud K, Shenema Kol Neshama Tal Ka, and it means that the Yud K, if it's written out, it's got 26, which is the full name of Hashem, Yud Kei Vavke Bimiluo, in the number 26. And Min HaMeitza Karasi Ka means Min HaMeitza in Golus, I cry out to Hashem Ka. I only have two osios, the Yud and the K, but nevertheless, Anani B'merchav Ka, with Marchiv, we expand the name Yud Kei Vavke until Yud Kei, until it gets to Bimiluo, the Yud Kei Vavke of the number 26. And the Sefer from Turkey, the Smichas Chachamim, he writes in the name of the Machzor Vitri that Yeheshmei Rabba, that we say in Kaddish, is a tefillah that we ask Hashem to be Mamale Shmo, because in the Parsha of Amalek at the end of Bishalach it says, Ki Yod Al Keis Ka Yud Kei, that Chazal say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu declared Lo Yehei Shmi Sholem V'Kisi Sholem Ad Sheyimcha Zaro Shel Amalek. It means that Yehei Shmei Rabba, we're asking Hashem that the Yud Kei should become Yud Kei Vav Kei. As we should see before, the entire glorious revelation of Almighty God in its in the holiest form, she is Kadol Shem Yud Kei B'Miluo Yud Kei Vav Kei. Now, these two letters, Yud K, as we said before, are Kolel the Vav K. And therefore, we can learn from this, and we should learn from this, that if a person thinks about doing a mitzvah and he plans to do it, but nenas at the end of the day, through mitigating circumstances beyond his control, lo asoy, he was not able to implement this mitzvah, is the mitzvah remains in the Bechina Machshav of Yud Kei of the Shem, but nevertheless, Malo of Akos of the Kars, the Torah considers it befall as if he had done the mitzvah befall with Klei Maisa, Bechinas Vav Kei, and therefore it makes absolute sense that the Vav Kei is included in the Yud Kei, because it's considered through the Yud Kei as if he also achieved the mitzvah befall and the Vav Kei. And we go back to the statement of Rav Ashi that we mentioned from the Gemara that says, "My lechoshve shmo, Omer Rav Ashi choshev adam lasos mitzvah, v'nenas v'lo asa malo lo vakosv ki lo asa." In other words, when it says lechoshve shmo, we're talking about someone who couldn't, the circumstance beyond, he wasn't able to be mekayim a mitzvah except for machshava b'chinas yud kei. He's considered choshve shmo, and he's mechave now for the entire shame. So when he's dedicating to himself to the Dveikus in Yud Kei, he should have in mind the Yud Kei Vav Kei, the full name of Hashem. If Choshev Adam Lasos Mitzvah Nenas V'lo Asa Malo V'Kosim Ki Ilu Asa. So again, Biyom Shechar Beis Hamikdash Dayo Liyom She Ish Tameish Bishtei Osios Shnemar Kol Hanishamat Halel Ka Yud Ke. That as long as the Beis Hamikdash Kayim, it was impossible to bring the Korbanos before Al, and therefore we can say Liyachid Shem Yud Ke Biv Vav Ke Biyichud Shalom. But now that the Beis Hamikdash is Charev, and it's impossible for us to be makir of the Korbanos before Al, it's enough for this world that we use the Yud-Kei. those two osios. That means we can dedicate ourselves to the study of Torah and the laws of Karbonos, and it's as if we were makayim the avodas haKarbonos, even though it was only b'machshava, because the yud k is always lends itself to the tziruf haKadosh Baruch Hu machshava k'maiseth, as if you had the vav k as well. And therefore, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides that the third sefer of Vayikra is keneged shem yud k, as we said before, because again the kotzo shel yud plus the yud gives you two books, that's Breishis and Shmos, and then you get to the hey, which gives you sefer Vayikra, the avodas haKarbonos, that after we began the sefer, or shall I say, very much at the beginning of the Sefer, Kadosh Baruch Hu reveals to Moshe Rabbeinu that ultimately the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed, the Jews will be sent into exile. But God reveals the antidote, so to speak. He's Megala, the Eitzah Tova, and that is Adam Ki Yakrev Michem Karmel Hashem. And the Adam is a reference to Limud Torah, to someone who's Osek B'Torah HaKarbonos. And Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I would consider it as if he fulfilled befall these Karbonos, even though he's Choshve Shmo in the Yud K, but nevertheless, God says, I consider it as if there was also a Vav K. And therefore, when the Torah starts this book by saying, Adam Ki Yakrev Michem Karbon Hashem, the word Adam here is a reference to Limud Torah. It's an allusion, if we will, to Limud Torah. And even after the Churban HaBayis, when a person will be makriv himself, sacrifice with machshava, and that's the Bechin of Yud Kei, then he's got a karbon. It would be considered as if he brought a karbon Lashem. Lashem meaning Yud Kei Vav Kei. So from the Yud Kei we get to the entire shame of Yud Kei Vav Kei, and that's a person who after Churban HaBayis dedicates himself in machshava to the halachos of Karbonos. Now, putting the Shvilei Pinchas on the side for a moment and looking at the Sharei Ora, he wants to suggest that it's not coincidental, but rather very fundamental, that in Akdoma to Matan Torah, Hashem says, "Atem tiyuli mamleches kohen v'goy kadosh." This is not just a mashal and a melitza, but that we are really like the kohen. Every Jew has to feel like he is a kohen amesharis es Hashem, and we see this over and over again. For example, we have parshios that repeat themselves to Bnei Yisrael and to the Kohanim. One example would be the parsha, the Issur Karcha, and the Torah gives an entire parsha Vayikra Chaf Alf that's dedicated addressing the Kohanim. Lo Yikruchu Karcha Barosham, but yet Vatem Tiyuli Melechas Kohanim. Sure enough, we have another parsha in the Torah that we also are enjoined from doing Karcha. Or, for example, with regard to Kodshin, we find that in the mitzvah Shchitas, a behema, even in Chulin, we see it almost as a hemshech, as a continuation of Shchitas Kodshin. Like the pasuk says in Dvarim Yud Beis, it says, Ki yirchak mimcha amokam asher yivcha Hashem, v'zavachta mibkarcha. So it's kiyirchak. It's a hemshech of what went on in Kodshim that we shecht animals. Well, for example, the Isur Vasiyas Adam. It says, Va'ani nasativ lachem al hamizbeach l'tayr l'chapar l'chanafshel seichem. And the Isur of Dam in Behemoth Chulin is because it's royal in Mizbeach. Now we know the Behemoth Chulin is not royal in Mizbeach, but conceptually we're taking the laws of Mizbeach, of Karbonos, and extending them even outside the bounds of Karbonos. And all this substantiates the principle that we are Kohanim. If you take a look, for example, in Matnas Kahuna, the Zohar L'Chayayim, the Keva, and other things, we find that these are the chelik of the Kohanim in Kodshei Mizbeach. And in Shchitas Kodshim in general, we find that there are those who are Oved, you know, Karnima Oved Malach Karbon, but nevertheless, it's very fascinating that the Gemara establishes in Zvach Met Shechita Kshera bizarre that even a non Kohen is kosher for Shechting Karbonos. And why is that? Because we are also Bebchinas Kohen. And this should be a binyan av for us to understand that all the meisim that we do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at them as if we're Kohanim HaOvdim Misharsim Lefanav. And we have that golden opportunity to be like the Kohanim and to serve Hashem in a way that is if we were Kohanim. And when we learn the mitzvahs that are dedicated to Shevet Kahuna, and in our machshava we have in mind that these mitzvahs, even though they're given specifically, exclusively to Kohanim, are shayach to call Yisrael, that we're all Bechina of Kohanim. So in potential, everything belongs to even Yisraelim who are non-Kohanim. And this is something that should be ma'ora and be machazik us always, that we should have that argosha, that we are the Misharse Hashem, we are, so to speak, the Kohanim who are not Kohanim. And this will certainly shed a bright light on the Rashba, the famous Tshuva of the Rashba. He was asked, what is this Netil Siyadayim Shachris? You know, it's not a Netil Siyadayim for Mazon, and yet we wash what we call Negelvasa. And he says, the key to understand, says the Rashba, is that when we wake up in the morning, we're like a Birya Chadasha. And Srichim Anu Lahodos Slow Yisparach Al Shebaranu Lichvodo Lisharso Levarch Bishmo Vialdovizet Tiknu Bishachar Kol Osam Brachoshan Bevarchim Bechal Boker Boker Lefichachar and Srichim Liskadesh Bekdushaso Velitol Yodenu Minakli Kikoen Shemagdish Yodov Minakior Minakior Kodem Avodoso, just like the Kior was designated for the Kohanim to wash their hands and their feet and prepare for the Avodah, we too, on a daily basis, we become new creatures, so to speak, a Bria Chadosh that's dedicated and rededicated anew to the Avodah Hashem, like the Karbon is Misharis Hashem, and therefore we require this Netilas Yadayim, similar or as a replacement of Netilas Yadayim of the Kohen from the Kiyar. Yemirtz Hashem will be zoche to see the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. Now it's only Yud Kei, and now it's only the limud of the Karbonos. And we understand that we are Begeder Choshvei Shvo and Malal of Akos, but we want it to be the reality that we, like the Kohenim, are serving Hashem. We have the Beis HaMikdash. May be zoche to the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, Bekarov. Amen.